There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Well, here we are. It's another Tuesday night. By the by, I just realized something. We've had a time change in the central part of the United States of America, and we have listeners all over the world, which means about halfway through the show, we're going to have a bunch of people logging on, and so I'll have to make mention of that so that we can give them a heads up. Unfortunately, I didn't think of that last week, so... Well, that's why we stream the show 24/7 for reasons like that that make it impossible not to hear the show in its entirety. And there is the archives page as well. Today's date is the 11th of March, 2014, and it is just about 2 minutes and 35 seconds after the hour. And it is now 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time, which means it stays light longer. So for you people out there that got chores, you'll be able to do those in the light. No more flashlights or little lights on the bills of your cap. Makes it a lot easier to do chores in the afternoon. Okay, this evening we're going to talk about two words and what these two words mean to you. What these two words perhaps do to your life. How these two words can actually describe how you live your life. How these two words put together might provide you with the recipe, an inside track, the final step in your relationship with Christ. Here is the first word, inadvertent, I-N-A-D-V-E-R-T-E-N-T, inadvertent. Now, what does inadvertent mean? It means unintentional, something unintended. It was an accident, not planned, unpremeditated, unplanned, innocent, uncalculated, unconscious, unthinking, unwitting, involuntary, careless, neglect. In other words, something that you had not considered, something that you hadn't planned, hadn't thought of, but yet it still occurs. That's the definition of the word inadvertent. Now, the second word of the two words put together that should provide you with insight into your own spirit. The second word is the word learning, L-E-A-R-N-I-N-G. The definition of learning: learning is the act of acquiring new or modifying and reinforcing existing knowledge, behaviors, skills, values, or preferences, and may involve synthesizing different types of information. The ability to learn is possessed by humans, animals, and some machines. So you have the first word, inadvertent, that's describing it's something that you didn't intend to do. It was an accident. It was unplanned. And the second word, learning, means to be educated, to receive information, knowledge. So tonight we're going to talk about inadvertent learning. And what does this have to do with your relationship with grace? In shorter words, it's about habits. Inadvertent learning can lead to things that you might not quite consider. I'll give you some examples of what inadvertent learning is. Unfortunately, all of us have probably experienced a time in our lives when we wanted to pet a dog. And the dog approaches you kind of quiet and innocent looking. And when you talk to the dog and you look at the dog looks at the ground. It tucks its tail between its rear legs. And when you go to touch it, it tightens up. It kind of cows and freezes like it perceives that you're going to hit it or you're going to kick it or yell at it. That dog has learned from animal abuse that people will hurt it. That's inadvertent learning. You know that you're going to wake up in the morning. You get out of bed. You start stumbling around your house doing what you need to do. And you get dressed. And you do same routines over and over every day. They become habits. And there's little idiosyncrasies on how the coffee pot works or how you have to turn the faucet on just right to brush your teeth. And if you lay your clothes out, you train yourself accidentally to add little habits to your life that you're not even aware of until something disturbs them. That's inadvertent learning. When you see someone reach their hand out to you, your first response is that they want to shake your hand because you were taught that. So when someone reaches a hand out to you, you think they want to give you something or they want to shake your hand. That's inadvertent learning. But what if they just want to push you out of the way or hit you? Habits. When you go to a facility that's going to keep you from stop drinking or stop smoking cigarettes or lose weight or to stop using drugs. Your whole life has been about inadvertent learning because you've learned to be around people that drink, smoke, and do drugs. You've learned to be around people that gamble. That has become a part of your life. There are habits and learned behaviors that you weren't aware of that have now ingratiated themselves, and they now define who you are as a person and the world that you see. So the first thing these facilities do is they make you change the way you look, the clothes you wear, your eating habits, your sleeping habits, your free time. They want you to learn inadvertently a whole new way of reality. There's an inadvertent learning to Christ. Because either you're learning Christian values, you're learning how to use grace and how to spot grace, or you're subconsciously learning not to. And as much responsibility and accountability that you have, you're also a little bit of a victim as well. Because the world that you know is the world that you were born into. And the world that you live in and think is reality is the world that you were provided and grew up as a child into. So sometimes the only choices that you've had were choices that were availed to you because of the reality that you were born into and grew up into. Well, there's a lot of inadvertent learning things accidentally that you're not aware of. Well, if you know that this occurs, and there can be positive, grace-filled inadvertent learning, and there can be negative, flesh, worldly inadvertent learning, then that gives you a conscious choice to make. It provides you with the ability to now consciously choose God, to set things aside. And Jim, one of the things that you find when you're talking to people is it not that they try to bring their day-to-day life and their day-to-day habits, instead of them leaving that behind and going towards God, they really want God to come to them so that they don't have to make any changes. Don't you find that?
Yeah, it's more fitting God into their world than it is actually leaving their world and then beginning to experience God. So it's actually backwards. And this is really sad because for most people, they have really, really good hearts, but they just don't see some of these things. And I think it's really interesting what we're talking about tonight, folks, because if you look at just the way that the world spins, and if you really boil that down, you can see that the negativity that's in the world is continually perpetuated, and everybody is about negativity. People remember the negative way more than they do the positive. Well, when you begin to boil that down to this world, the word here, intuitive learning, really, it's very interesting because, boy, you learn so many things that are negative without even knowing that you are, that become hindrances, stalemates to the grace of God or to what you might call the anointing or the Holy Spirit working in your life on a regular basis. I can't tell you how many things I've seen by just being in services all my life, and then even recently in the last 20, 25 years being around services where there's a whole lot more going on in the service. For instance, healings and deliverances and people being blessed and people being helped. But even in those services, there's so much that you're learning on a negative curve, and it almost outweighs the things that you're learning on a positive curve. For instance, how many times have we been to a very large meeting where there's a big wheelchair section and someone goes down and lays hands on the people in the wheelchair section and nobody gets out? And those kind of things happen over and over and over again. And what they're doing is you're actually learning so much that it's really scary, because you're learning to doubt that God will ever raise somebody out of a wheelchair. You're learning that with all the prayer in the room and everybody stretching their hands out, you're learning that even that isn't enough. And you're learning by the way that people present themselves that this is going to take something special. And so you're learning that something special didn't come because that person wasn't out of the wheelchair, or no one in that whole section got out, so there wasn't anything special. So then we make a conclusion and say we need to pray for something special to come so that these people can get out of their wheelchairs. And all that does is continue to perpetuate hindrances, boundaries, and limitations to what God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do in our lives. It's as though He has two orange flashlights, like the guys, because I'm flying in airplanes all the time, it's like the guys on the runways that help to bring the planes in so that they can be at their gate. And, of course, the walkway then gets added to the plane, and you walk off the plane. Well, those guys got to bring that plane in with hand motions, and they usually use, especially at night, flashlights that are coated with a red plastic over them. And they're moving those flashlights in specific ways for the pilots to bring that plane in just right. Well, that's just like the Holy Ghost. All the things He's trying to do, He's got flashlights in our face, and we're not seeing them because of inadvertent learning. And we really want to capture this subject a little bit better. I think it's kind of interesting, everyone, because tonight you're going to hear a lot of scriptures. And the ones that we give you, I think, will open up your mind to see that this is something that's all through Scripture, good and bad. And there's great passages of what's good, and there's passages of what's not good. But it definitely is a force, and it's something that people are experiencing every day, whether you know it or not. That's the scary part.
Okay. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. If you'd like to send a text message, this is how you send it. We love emails. We love text messages. It doesn't have to be a comment on the subjects that we're talking about. We just want to hear from you. Remember, we're only here in the barn for a little under 2 hours on a Tuesday night. So take advantage of this and let us know from you. Let us hear from you. The way you text the show is the first word that you have to type in your text message is the word grace. That's the first word that you type is grace. Then type the rest of your comment or question. And then when it asks you to send it to, the number you send it to, there's no one. There's no area code. It isn't even a 7-digit phone number. It's only 5 digits. And that is 69302. That's 69302. If you would like to send an email, it's the name of Jim's radio show. All one word, no capital letters, no spaces. The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, gmail.com. That's the Abiding Presence at gmail.com. Or grace, and then send that to 69302. On the Abiding Presence website, on the contacts page, all this that I just said is clearly written for you to contact the show. We've got an email that came in 3 days ago. It came in on the 8th of March, and it starts off with, "Please don't use my name." It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. I'm listening and trying to learn all I can from both of you. It is hard to get religion out of you when you have heard so much that was not right or twisted all these years. I want to get cleaned out and be more like BJ." Oh, no, you don't want to be like me. It says, "Jim, will you talk about tithing?" Tithing?
Tithing.
Oh, is that what? Tithing. Okay, let me start with it. It says, "Jim, will you talk about tithing? I have heard so much that I don't believe is right, and you haven't talked about this much, or I haven't heard what you have said, yet I have tithed for about 45 years. I've been praying for a new car, and I don't understand how to receive it. I can't spend years paying for it because of my age. Thanks for being such a blessing." And then it says, "P.S. BJ, will you mention more examples of grace that you encounter? I would like to hear them. I listen to everything on the Abiding Presence and have ordered Jim's CDs on prayer secrets." Okay, so talk about tithing.
Tithing? Okay. Well, tithing, just let me talk to you about it for a second. First of all, let me just address something because it's good that we just kind of get this out of the way. I firmly believe that the way that giving and receiving has been presented over the years has been with a materialistic mindset. And you can tell that that's actually happened because of the way so many people put emphasis on, if you give, then you're going to get a blessing. If you don't give, God won't bless you. Well, the truth is, you're already blessed. God's already blessed you in Christ. And that came with the package from Jesus. There's an anointing on you. There's grace on you. Grace is God's influence on your life. And prosperity is something that is in the heart of God. But let me just share this with you. Materialism is not in the heart of God. And that's something that we've become way overboard on. And you can just see it in the religious services. So many people put their value in a new this or a new that. And the value that a person needs to place upon their life is having a wonderful relationship with God. And let the giving and receiving, because Jesus talks about it, Paul talks about it, Old Testament talks about it, giving and receiving is a valid, initiated right that every person has, that God expects us to be stewards of our finances. He shares many places in the Word of God where giving and receiving of financial things are very important to what the scriptures call a church, where people are advancing in Christ for the work of the ministry. So all of that is very valid. My point here is to say that if we're giving because we want to get things, already our whole focus is on material things. I think it was Jesus that said something like, if you'll just put me first, all these things that the Gentiles seek, I'll make sure that they're added to you instead of actually taking the initiative to try to get things. And this is one of the problems, and that I trust that we're exposing on this show, that everything that we want to approach God with comes through a relationship. People spend so much time. In fact, I've noticed this even some of my meetings recently, that people put so much emphasis on, please help us to get our bodies healed. Well, the greatest way to get the body healed is to get the heart connected with God. Because just like with any type of appliance, when the power is on and when the cord is plugged in and you have electricity, that's when things work. Just like this radio show right now, there's all kinds of electricity flowing through all the mechanical parts that we have in here to make this take place. Well, we could say, I want a radio show. Well, you need to get the basics. And the basics of Christianity is the relationship with God. So I'm not discounting tithing. We do it. We certainly give. We give to people that are in need. We give where we find that there are works of God that are going forward and ministering like they should be. And we certainly are thankful that we can do so. But to put all these tags on it is what I call what happened years ago. And I think if you can just look at the fruit of it, people got super materialistic and got distracted.
Okay, I need a clarification. Maybe you can help me out here. She says, I can't spend years paying for a new car because of my age. So what she's saying is that she thinks that she's going to die before her car would be paid for, right?
Seems that way.
Well, that's what you want. If I was...
That's what I remember you saying before.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my goal is I want to die on the first of the month when all my bills are due with a hot fudge sundae on my breath. If you're in your, late 60s, 70s, or 80s, you should be going out and buying the most expensive car or vehicle that you want. And you want to string those payments out for as long as you can so that you have, in your final years, you have the car of your choice, a nice, fancy car. And people will say, how do you plan on paying for that? And says, I'm not. I'm just going to drive it until I'm deader than a can of corned beef. Because when you're dead, they'll just come take the car away.
Right, they'll repossess it.
Yeah, who cares? I don't know who this
person... And the note's over.
Yeah, my philosophy is, the person who wrote this email, I just want to say, it's a woman, so I'm just going to say, baby, you go out in style. You go, girl. Yeah, I'd get yourself a Cadillac with about a 12-year payment plan.
Oh, God.
That's my advice. Yeah, I think it's good advice. And then the PS, it says, BJ, will you mention more examples of grace that you encounter? I would like to hear them. I listen to everything on the Abiding Presence and have ordered Jim's CDs and Prayer Secrets. Oh, let's see. Boy, I don't know which one to pick because I stopped counting today at I stopped counting grace at 185 because I was pretty busy. I'll tell you a good example of grace today. I went to town for some parts. And, spring's coming around, so I'm firing up a bunch of ag equipment. And I don't know what happens, but sometime between fall and spring, there's these little fairies that break farm equipment when it's parked in the barn. So anyways, I'm getting some parts for farm equipment. And I drove 18 miles to town, and then I drove another 18 miles home. And I was so busy... thinking about the farm and just real excited about grace and, thinking about the show tonight, wondering if you were going to show or not, and just having fun, that grace availed itself to allow me to drive 18 miles one way and 18 miles the other way with not a clue. I couldn't tell you how many cars were on the road, if the roads were wet, if I went through a stop sign, if I was driving the speed limit, if there, you know what I mean? I had no cognizant memory of driving at all. Ranger was sitting next to me. We had the windows down. The radio was turned real loud. Now that's grace. That's autopilot. Somebody was driving because it sure wasn't me, and it wasn't Ranger.
No, I don't think it was her.
Well, no, she can't reach the pedals.
That's right.
Well, she can't sit on the seat, and she's got dog legs. What's wrong with you, Jim? You really think a dog could drive a pickup truck? But I like to see
me. She doesn't look big enough.
We just got our first text message. It says, tuning in from the warehouse in North Carolina. Looking forward to seeing Jim in a couple of weeks. That's from Nick, the forklift driver. Well, where were you? I thought you were in North Carolina.
No, it's in New Jersey.
And you know what happened when you were in New Jersey? I got my own box of Butter Crunch candy. And
how do you know it's yours?
Because it's got my name on it, and it was sealed in duct tape, so you couldn't get in it and steal any. And you know what the best part was?
What?
They spent some money because they got an organic, super-duper high-priced dog treat for Ranger. And she's going to get that tonight after she eats supper after the show.
Yeah, that's nice.
That'll be her dessert. She'll be sitting on the couch, and she can have that dog treat.
Good.
And that lady's name is?
Diane.
Diane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Diane. I got it, and Jim didn't mess with it. And thank goodness you put duct tape on it and then signed your name on it. All right, we got another email here, and it says, hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. This weekend, our friends asked us to join them and watch a nationally known prophet.
Okay.
Okay. They follow on the internet. I noticed before we were allowed to hearing any prophecies or any type of message, we were asked again and again to click on the red button and contribute to their ministry. I thought of you both and wondered what you fellows would think if you were watching this program. Thank you again for what you do, Dennis and Muriel Mattson in Tampa, Florida. Okay, so there's some nitwit out there that's on the internet, and he's prophesizing about wanting money, and he's got a red button that you click on. Okay, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be watching it. Number two, you know, if he's got to proclaim that he's a prophet, then he's not. Because why would you have to proclaim something? Just be what you are. And the fact that you're using money to solicit people so that your money is your catch to getting your prophecy and speak it. Who in the world says that you would want to believe anything that he has to say? It's absolutely ridiculous.
I think I know who this
nitwit is. I have nothing to do with it.
I think I know who this nitwit is. Because I watched, the guys had me watch somebody on the internet, and they did have a red button. It kept
You're
saying
kidding. Really?
Offerings.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but.
And how tuned in were they?
I don't know. I offered them, you could put in your own dollar amount, so yeah. I put in $1 million. And man, did my phone go crazy. They called me. They were calling me sir and asking me about $1 million. And I said, hold on. I says, let me just see for a second. I'm counting it. And then they got real quiet. And he says, you're counting $1 million right now? And I says, well, I'm wrong. I don't have $1 million. I says, I think it's more like $2 million. And I says, but I'm getting the $500 mixed up with the $100. And then the lady, she says, is this play money? And I says, well, no, it's not play money. I says, you can't play Monopoly without this money. This money is important to play in Monopoly. I says, I want to give you $1 million of this money that I have. I says, I have stacks of it. And she hung up the phone. I personally, I got the giggles. I entertained myself. Okay, look. It comes down to a very simple thing, and it really has to do with tonight's inadvertent learning topic.
Yep, all kinds of things to learn right
there. Organized religion has trained you to think that you have to dress a certain way. You have to go to a certain place at a certain time. And you have to act and walk and talk and fellowship in a certain way. Or you're not doing it right. Or you can't do it at all. I think that's a shame. Because the first thing that Jesus did was is he met people on their own ground at their own place. He went to them. And everything he did was to tell people that they were individuals and the choice was up to them. And once they were healed or once he talked to them, he kind of just scooted them away. He didn't want people to follow him around like a rock star. It was more natural, and it wasn't even about him. It was about the love of his Father, Grace. So that's what I think about red buttons that say, give you money. But it was on the internet. I mean, we're on the internet.
Right.
I think, you know, Jim, I think we should have buttons. I think we should have a potato chip button, a butter crunch button, candy button, well, candy bar button, and what other buttons would we want?
Caramel corn.
Remember how good that was? Yeah, it was. We need a caramel corn button. So that's four buttons. Because if this nitwit has one, Todd and Cheryl.
That was.
Hey, if this nitwit has one red button, I think we can have a bunch of buttons. Yeah, where people can just And those will be our prayer offerings. How will that go over?
I don't know.
Folks, if you want Jesus in your life, it's barbecued potato chips night, folks. Yeah. Save yourself from hell. Send chips now. It's the same thing, Jim.
Yeah.
And you know what's really sad is?
Is we probably would have a lot of chips.
No, I'll tell you what's really sad is this guy's got a lot more listeners than we do.
Yeah.
I mean, buckets full. He's probably got hundreds of thousands and millions listening everywhere that are shoveling him money, and they're hoping for something positive, and it isn't occurring.
Hmm.
And the inadvertent learning of it, which is really tragic and fits tonight's topic perfectly, is their inadvertent learning is that they're going to give, and they're going to give, and they're going to pray, and they're going to pray, and that's all there is, because that's all anybody is getting from this guy.
Hmm.
And so to them, they've made it. That is Christ. That is a relationship with God right there.
Right.
That's
right.
All there is.
Yeah.
But yet, there they are with pain and problems and worries that go unsatisfied, that go and well-meaning thoughts to feel better and to get a good night's sleep that go unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great email, by the way.
Okay, good.
We got another one here. Came in 9 minutes ago. It says, "Hi, I'm Jimmy. Love your show. Since you guys are so good, I was wondering if you can help me out with something. You know what? I don't think this is a real email. Every once in a while, we get a wrong email.
Right, right.
And my little bells and whistles are going off. Okay.
Well, I'm going to just stay on our topic here then, and give you some scripture and all, because there really is so much.
Guess what? I was right. It's a fake email.
Did you click to send?
Yep. It's a fake email. We get these once in a while on the show because somebody wants to mess with the show, and this is the first one that I've ever started to read on the show that I didn't. And you know why? Because I was in a hurry. We got one here. A text says, "Hi Ranger Jim, BJ, Steven here, listening in Loveland, Texas. Hi to Carol, listening in Lubbock, Texas." And then another one, it says, "How quickly will tonight's show be in the archives?"
Tomorrow it'll be put on. I'll send it tonight, and probably sometime tomorrow Chris will take it out of Dropbox, and probably it'll be in there. Let's just say By Thursday, for sure.
They don't want to listen live. They don't want to listen to us live. Obviously, they just want to listen to the recording.
Well, maybe they've got something going on, but that's the whole point.
I would have said 9 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just to keep them on.
Yeah.
Well, we got to compete with Mr. Red Button.
Oh,
now.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
We could have said those wonderful goodies
okay,
and treats.
Inadvertent learning. Find me some scripture that talks about inadvertent learning.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff here. Let me go over to, I had a whole bunch of things here. First of all, think about this with Jesus and the disciples. We're over in John chapter 14, and Jesus says in verse 8, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Now this was a theme that Jesus actually carried with him throughout his time on the earth, that he would use the works, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the testimonies as evidence to who he was and to his relationship with God the Father. He did this quite a bit, but notice what's happening here. There is inadvertent learning going on, and Jesus is trying to tell Philip that you should know me just by, you should know the Father just by hanging out with me. That's one instance here. Let's give another instance. I think this is very interesting, what Jesus said when the disciples asked him about why do you tell so many stories, all right? He replied, "You've been given insight." This is Matthew 13, verse 11. "You've been given insight into the kingdom of God. You know how it works. Not everyone has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again." Well, we could read on a little bit more, but notice what Jesus is doing. He's saying, these stories that I tell, all these different stories, even like you hear stories on the radio show with what I present from the scriptures, what BJ presents from some of the things that he is involved with here on the ranch, some of the stories that come to his mind. Notice Jesus is saying, this is a part of this type of learning. These stories, they're telling things. You're learning things where you're not necessarily even aware that you're learning things. You're learning things, and of course, when Jesus is talking about it, he's talking about good things. But you're learning all kinds of things by the stories themselves. I think this is one of the best ways, BJ, for us to learn, is taking Jesus' advice and relating things to stories. Because if you'll notice with Jesus, there was nothing religious about the way that he talked. And yet he was combating constantly the religious ways of the Pharisees.
Well, you know, it's real interesting about people, because either you're striving to have more grace in your life or you're not.
Okay.
There's no middle ground. People by nature and organized religion loves gray areas.
Okay.
Because there's no reason for someone to feel unwelcome. It's impossible for someone to feel unsuccessful. And you can keep them coming back because it's encouraging at face value. But the bottom line is either you're gaining ground in your relationship with the guys, or you're gaining ground in the world in the flesh. It's one or the other. There's heaven and hell. There's nothing,
right.
You know, there's not like a Motel 6 with a swimming pool and a pool table in between.
Right.
You're striving for one or the other. the absoluteness, the harsh sharpness of good and evil, heaven and hell, should be displayed to people to show that you are on two roads. There isn't a choice other than up or down, left or right, on or off.
Yeah.
But because of wanting everybody to be accepted for the sheer population in a building, the numbers, and the money that can be brought in from people tithing, they can't talk about that. And they certainly can't live it or encourage it.
Right.
Because they would lose members, they would lose money. There, you know, we've said it before on this show that Jesus wasn't perfect. He didn't cure all, and he didn't fix all. He was only perfect to those who what?
Opened up their heart and their mind and sought him out.
Yes, people that had an open mind, an open heart, and actually chose to believe in Jesus' dad, to believe in grace.
Well, then take Jesus as a minister, and then what are we going to do with this topic tonight that's about inadvertent learning? When you look over in James, and you see that in James chapter 3, it talks about making sure that as a minister, you're pretty spot on because you'll be judged more harshly. So if we take that with inadvertent learning, what is that saying? It's saying that James recognizes many people will be inadvertently taught wrong.
Yes.
And so he warns the teachers. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's a warning to ministers, rabbis, monks, priests, pastorizers, whoever.
Right.
That just because you have a group in front of you that's providing you with a living in a building, that doesn't mean that you've got it right.
Right.
You don't just get a get-out-of-jail-free card because you're pontificating on the internet with a red button that says, send me money. It's just the opposite.
Right.
You're held to a higher standard.
Sure.
Because if you're preaching the gospel, then you should know the gospel. And if you're preaching the gospel and you know the gospel, then you should be able to take advantage of it as well.
Sure, sure.
But if you're wearing glasses or you're walking with a limp or you've got ulcers or you broke your leg, well, obviously, you're disconnected from your own relationship with God. You're severed from your own ability to use grace. How can that person... How can that person be considered a teacher?
Yeah, well,
because the only example they really provide is one of failure.
Yeah, well, going out and ministering, and I ask a lot of questions when I do, and open it up for, you know, crowd, the people that are in the crowd to just say what they want to say, whether they like it or whether they don't, ask questions. Well, let's just add this to the mix. How many times do we hear people asking questions like, well, how come at my church I'm not healed? How come the minister's not healed? How come we don't see more healings? How come people have loved God for 20 years, but they seem not to be able to get their prayer answered? In other words, look at the validation of the inadvertent learning that's taking place where people in the right location or the right situation, that when they're able to ask questions, they ask questions that seem to reveal that they know in their own heart they're not getting what they should. And they don't have the evidence to prove it. So they're asking questions, how come? Which shows you then that what's actually being given to them is not meeting the grade. It's not helping.
No, but that's all there is. And that's all they're led to believe. So the inadvertent learning comes into that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the one of the best things about your show is that it lets people know that there's another choice or something else to learn.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Another direction to go.
In New Jersey, there was a couple on the way out that I asked them. I'd seen them, you know, the two times before. And so this is the third time seeing them. So I kind of feel like in a little way that I know them a little bit. And I asked them, I said, how are you doing with all this? What are you getting out of it? And they said, oh, man, this is great. We love it. The only problem we have with it is that it's really difficult now to find some place to go. Because we're hearing something that has enough accuracy to it, it reveals basically that where we're going, we're not getting what we need. I thought that was very, very interesting. Here's another great example. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm over in 1 Kings 17 and verse 17. And this kind of goes along with the story that I told about, you know, the wheelchair and the way that we've prayed and the way that we've kind of taught people. Well, it says right here, and it came to pass, talking about Elijah, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore, that there was no breath in him. And she said to Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said to her, Give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried to the Lord and said to the Lord, O my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. In other words, he brought back to life. Well, I look at that. Now I look at his traveling companion. His name is Elisha. And look at what Elisha did in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. And he went in there, therefore, and shut the door upon them. Well, some of the words here in the King James are real interesting. It says, he laid upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and he lay upon the child and put his mouth to the child. And then the child was awakened. It says, I lost my place here, but it's still, my point is, Elijah did what Elijah did, and it was by the direction of the Lord, and the boy was raised up. Elisha did exactly what Elijah did. There is a learning curve that's going on here, because all I need to do is go on over to the Apostle Paul, and I can look over here in Acts and chapter 20 and verse 9, and Paul was preaching, and there was a young man that was sitting in a window, and he fell asleep, and it was a couple stories up, and he fell onto the ground, and he died. And it says, Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, and said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And it says, and then they brought the young man alive, and they were not just a little comforted. So they were greatly comforted. Look at the progression here. Look at the similarities here. And then we wonder sometimes why we're not doing more of what you might call the works of Jesus. Because if we're going someplace or we've been around people who are only doing so little, then how are we going to know to do much? There's something said of this inadvertent learning that I think all of us need to just really ask ourselves, to what degree have we learned from the negative side that causes us to maybe in the midst of our own situation, because we've only noticed people being prayed for that died, people being prayed for that remained sick, people being prayed for that in their services, they never go home well. So what does that train us? How does that make us look? I'm going to keep going with one more thought, if you'll stay with me on this. This is an interesting thought here. For 6 years before I did prayer school and healing school, there were a couple of really wonderful teachers. As far as their gift, they really, in my opinion, they're right on the very top echelon as far as their gift. They really are incredible teachers. They could teach circles around me in a heartbeat. There's no doubt about it, and I wouldn't care because I'm not in it for who's best. But anyhow, excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, when I was in healing school, I think some of you remember, I came from the Raymer Singers and Band. Brother Hagin asked me to come and do the healing school. And my first 3 months there, I think we only saw about two or three people that were healed. I mean, out of those 3 months, we saw more people go home the exact same way they were And we heard more testimonies of people that when they went home, they died. We'd get emails that would say, "We're sorry to say with the passing of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so." And they were the ones that we preached to for a whole week, laid hands on them multiple times, and they went home and they died. Well, that just really stinks. So, especially with my personality, it's either I got to get another job or we got to solve this puzzle because we got to get something working. And you know that's when I literally laid my heart down. I opened up my heart to God. I said, you know, in a very humble way, you know, "I'm the problem. Please change me." And within the first month after I prayed that prayer, not only did God begin to show me things, which is grace, immediately began to speak to my heart, which is a relationship. But when I began to preach these things, and there was a greater boldness on my life, instantly people began to get well. And a lot of these people got well right in the service without me even touching them. And this is what was said by a healing school usher who had been there for 6 years. He looked at me at the end of that week and he said, "I've seen more this week instantly happen than I have in the last 6 years put together with the other teachers." Now, notice what happened with him. All of a sudden, inadvertently, he learned something that was a positive to combat 6 years of negativity. And he put his hand up and he said, "I can count on one hand how many times I've seen people healed." And literally that week, we probably had 30 or 40 people touched and healed in the service. And we only had about 50 people there total. So look at a great example of the positive of inadvertent learning, because from that moment on, all those ushers and myself, we all just literally, like you flipped a switch, began to think, "Well, this ought to be normal, and we're going to see it next week too." And that began an amazing and wonderful time for the next 10 years of seeing God do stuff all the time. Does that fit the category?
It does. We got an answer when they asked if the show was archived. They sent another text that says, "I love to listen live, but I put the archive show on my phone for subsequent re-listens."
Oh, that's nice.
Well, yeah, I thought it was
good.
Nice.
Yep.
Folks, if you want to text the show, the way you text the show is the first word you type is GRACE, G-R-A-C-E, GRACE. Finish your text, and then you send it to this five-digit number, 69302. If you would like to email the show, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at Gmail, G, as in Grandma's Gravy, .com. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com, and the text is 69302, and the first word that you type in your message is the word GRACE. We're a little light on texts and emails tonight.
Well, maybe this second hour.
Maybe we chased them away because we don't have buttons.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe that whole red button thing, that scenario.
I don't know. Maybe they decided, you know, that since we don't have buttons, we're not worth, you know.
Yeah.
I bet that's it. It's the button thing.
Well, maybe if we get them to send in $1,000 and we give them a
remember
prophecy,
this,
maybe it'll boost listeners.
It's Tuesday night, March 11th, 2014. It's about 7 minutes before 9 o'clock, and that's when the button hit. It's the button night. It'll ever be etched in our minds. It says, "Oh, I love the archives because I can stop and rewind." Well, this is, I'm sure that isn't the same person. See, because we can't see people's phone numbers when they text. I mean, they get a thank you from Ranger because Ranger's in charge of text messaging.
Right.
You know, the thing that I think that I think is tough for people is that there has to be there comes a time. There was for me. And I'm nobody special, and I'm not any different than anybody else. And probably 95 to 98%, maybe even as high as 99% of the people listening have a much better life, a much better attitude towards people and the world than I do. But I think there has to come a time for everyone, because there was this time for me when I had to come to terms with who I am and the fact it hasn't really done me much good.
Okay. Yep.
it was the start of the cascading, snowballing effect of humbling. Because if you can't humble yourself, I mean, if you can't become humble in your own eyes, admit your faults and failures, it's going to be impossible to do that before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you have so much pride and vanity that you think that your quality of life and your self-appearance and how you feel about yourself and how other people feel about you, if you think that is so great and so good, well then, where in the world is God? Why isn't grace all over you? Why aren't you drowning and soaking wet, dripping right. in grace?
Right.
Obviously, if you're not and you have aches and pains, those are the gentle reminder of just how many clicks off and how far away you are.
Right, right. Make a change.
Yes.
Make an adjustment.
You have to. That's what this show is about understanding that you've been going the wrong direction and there is a choice to be made.
Right.
Do you have to make it? No, you do not. It might be kind of handy if you do. It might serve you a lot better if you consider it.
Right.
We got, Todd and Cheryl said hello.
Good, good.
It says, you should offer prayer rags and holy water. Then folks will listen. Folks aren't used to not having to pay for God's touch. You know, we could do this because I was at the tractor dealership.
Right.
I bought a roll of these cloth shop towels.
Yeah.
They're blue. And we just cleaned out most of the cattle tanks on the ranch, the horse tanks, so the water's clean. I could take a roll of those shop towels. I could dip the whole, I could just take the whole roll, stick it in a cattle tank of clean water, pull it out, and then, you know, they're like paper towels, but they're more of a cloth, and they're already serrated. I could tear them off, kind of wring them out a little bit,
yep.
Put them in a Ziploc sandwich bag, put those in an envelope, and mail them to people.
It might work if people believe, you know. Be interesting.
Yeah, straight from the barn, from the ranch. prayer cloths and holy water.
I want to open up a can of worms.
The only holy water I know is the water that seems to find every single hole in every bucket we have out here. That's the only holy water I'm aware of.
That would definitely be a good definition. I'm just opening up this thought about something, and that is, you know, look at, we've never really talked about this at the ranch, but.
What's that?
Well, just think about how easy it is for people to develop habits, routines, how people really like this. And of course, I think there's some things that we can say about that. For some, it may be because that's their method of control. They have to have some sense of control. But my point about this is not to even go there as much as to say, it's so easy for a human being to be attached to things, to have habits. And we look at negative habits all the time. But what about looking at positive habits? Because everything about the kind of learning we're talking about tonight is so that people can realize how easy it can be for you to want more and more and more of God until it's like a habit. You have to have more grace, more God, more understanding. You want to fellowship with him more. You want to spend more time with him. And it becomes something that perpetuates itself to something good.
I like that. One of the things that grace has done for me is to remind me that I'm really not much different than a rabbit, a horse, a dog, or a pig.
Hmm.
I'm a mammal. I have animal instincts. And that there's an opportunity for me to be at one with the environment and nature. I'll have to show them to you. I don't think I ever have. But all over the ranch, there are wild game trails that look like little highways.
Mm.
It almost looks like somebody took a wheelbarrow tire and just rolled these tracks that wind and go under fences and around trees and and through bushes. They're everywhere. And these are wild animal highways that all the wildlife use in that area, not just one. And the grass doesn't grow very much. It's always matted down because it's a daily path for wildlife to get to grass, to get to shelter, to get to one of the ponds on the ranch for water. And so there's inadvertent learning for animals. Paths that they make, trails that they use. The migration of birds, inadvertent learning. The fish that go back. What's the name of the fish that swims upstream to lay its egg? Salmon. And there's, we have to understand that we are made in God's image, but we are one of God's creatures as well. And if we see that there are so many habits, and there are so many conditioning behaviors in nature, that maybe perhaps it'll be easier for a person to recognize those in himself.
Sure.
Because it's really true. Unless you know there's a problem, how in the world can you address it or fix it?
Yeah, right.
And part of the problem with organized religion and people that go to places to worship is they literally don't know that it's not working because that's all there is.
Do you know how excited people are when I open it up to folks and say, come on, give me questions. Give me some of your thoughts.
No, because you never let me go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. That's right. But they'll say to me things like this. We've never known that you can ask questions. Or I'll ask the question. How many of you feel like it's a taboo to ask questions? And hands will go up all over the place.
Yeah, you said that last show. That's right.
And so when people have a chance to ask a question, they get totally excited because they've never been able to do that. And just like you're saying, the questions to me reveal either learning that is positive or learning that's negative, just by the very nature of the question itself. And I find that so many are, without even knowing it, learning things that have hindrances to it. You know, this is an interesting thought, and so simple. Please don't make this any more than it is. But if we're not getting where we need to be, some people would say, well, we just need to make a tiny little correction. And they all are tiny little corrections. But you have to see it like I must be 180 degrees the wrong way. Because this ought to work so simple and so easy. It ought to be so normal as a spiritual being for me to experience God and to enjoy His presence, to enjoy His conversations, to enjoy His company, and to literally have a life where it has nothing to do with how much I'm striving for. But it's literally the things of life come through the relationship. It ought to be simple. And if it's not simple and you're wearing yourself out, and I hear this so much, even some of my friends that'll say, you know, I'm just worn out. I'm worn out. I'm trying so hard. Well, it's like that's just evidence of the fact that there must not be much presence of God there if we're going to strive so hard to try to get something. Because that's the whole idea of God's grace. God's grace is the migration of the geese going north and south. God's grace is the pattern of the ants and how that they go about what they do, and they do things precisely. All of that is God's grace. And those are patterns. So there are patterns in our life that can be developed where God becomes the absolute priority of our life, and we wouldn't want it any other way. I got a text today from one of the fellows that has come out to the ranch, from Steve, really good. And he was just making some observations about, you know, why would anybody want to go back after they begin to experience God and they begin to experience His grace. And some of his comments were like this. I literally feel like I'm backslid if I haven't recognized God's grace or enjoyed His company for just a half a day. If a half a day goes by and I haven't enjoyed Him, haven't seen His grace, I feel like I'm backslid. Because why would you ever not want to see it? I think that's really good. Those are habits in the right direction.
They are. We got a text. It says, BJ, loved what you just shared about humbling yourself. That's from Cheryl. We got some emails. We got an email that came in 10 minutes ago. It says, great show tonight. I've listened to nearly all the shows, some more than once. I'm thankful to Grace for it and you. You see, it's taken that long to get stuff out of me. The show has also helped me refocus from time to time. Well, I'm still a member of my local building. My church leader just had another surgery for joint pains. I've gotten to the point where I don't care to go to services anymore, but I love them like family. After all I've been with them 32 years, any advice about my building? Although I think I know what you're going to say. And it says, God bless. Jim, I like the part about joint surgeries.
Well, you know, when you look in Scripture, first of all, there is so much when you begin to change the way that you see things that does reveal how individual everyone is supposed to be able to find God. Contrary to the idea that it has to be a group thing, you have to be in some type of a meeting in order to find it. That is not so. It is individual. On the same token, I do see, you know, the need for people for the early church. I do see Paul and some of Peter and John when they were beaten because of the guy that they got up at the entrance to the gate of the temple. It says they went unto their own company. Their own company. In other words, they went to people and hung around people that were of like mind and like heart. And in fact, Paul talks about that in some of his letters to Timothy, that there's no one of like mind or like heart. So Paul would like to have companions or someone of like mind and like heart. So I understand in this email that someone is saying, I love these people, because people are wonderful in one sense. But you can't try to please people and lose your progress with God. That's where I'm going to stop right there.
Okay. First off, I'm going to put it in some pretty, I think, pretty simple, easy terms to understand. When someone stops drinking, or when someone is losing weight, or they've changed their diet, they've lost weight, they haven't had a drink in a couple of months, they're not smoking cigarettes, but yet they're still vulnerable. They realize that they have choices. They realize there's another way to go. They know they're still vulnerable. They know if they go to a bar around all those people that are drinking, it might be temptation to drink. They know if they're around people that are smoking cigarettes, it might be hard not to borrow a cigarette just to have one smoke. If you're trying to better your diet, the last thing you want to do is be around a bunch of people that go to all-you-can-eat buffets all the time. I think that you can apply this metaphor or analogy to going to buildings. When you realize that a building is a building and it's not a church, when you realize that it's not Scripture, but it's just doctrine and it's just a money-making machine, even though they're family and the songs are fun and the fellowship and the food in the basement isn't bad, when you're just starting to realize that you have a choice to make, when you're just starting to realize that there's a different path that you can take, I think those places are very dangerous, because it provides a choice. It's like bait. It attracts you, and it provides a place that you know to be true. It's a habit. When you're trying to break a habit, when you're trying to live a new life, you have to have a clean sever. I think once you're confident and you have a working knowledge of the guys, and you're using grace and seeing grace every day, and your prayers are being answered, grace avails you to be invincible. You can go anywhere and be with anybody that you want, because you've learned the new habit of Christianity. You've learned how to be to live life godlike, to be a child of God, and to live in grace, and to forsake the world and the flesh. I think until you become that seasoned, until you become that strong in the Word of God, that I think going to a building and a religious service when you're just figuring things out and realizing that you have choices to make, I think it's a recipe for disaster. Because this person is talking about years and years. They're talking about 20, 30
right,
years
right.
of habit. And think of it this way. For every minute that you're in that building, that's a minute that you're not with grace. And for every minute that you think about that place, that's a minute that you're not thinking about your own individual relationship with the guys.
Yep.
Because there's nothing good of the flesh and there's nothing good of the world. There is no gray area. It's that harsh. It's that rude. It's that tough. It's that absolute. It's literally fish or cut bait. One of the two.
Okay, so we had, and this will help too, we had a lady raise her hand. She's from China, and she was in our meeting in New Jersey, and talking about the Bible. And at that moment, we were talking about how we put so much emphasis on connecting people to the Bible that we forget the Bible's supposed to connect you to God. And this lady raised her hand. She said, I'm from China. And of course, she spoke English. And she said, I got my hands on a Bible in China. And she said, I read it. And what I got out of it when I read it was, if all these people had experiences with God, then I want to have an experience with God. Which is great. That's what the Bible's supposed to help you to see. And she said, and so I went ahead and began a relationship with the Lord. And she said it was extremely real, very, very real. And she said, and I had that relationship with the Lord working for quite some time until I went to a church. And then at this church that I went to, she said people didn't have that kind of relationship, and basically the simplistic relationship and the effectiveness of it and the importance of it was lost at this church. So my point is to say, if someone could have what was so new and fresh stripped away from them, and the group concept to cause what was real to become not really visible or real at all, then someone that's gone for 30 years to a church that all of a sudden hears something like we're sharing, and they begin to experience God's grace wonderfully, well, then the exact same thing can happen if they go back to the group.
One of the first things I learned from the guys was, is the place I met you, the building I met you in, and the person that runs the place, one of the first things I learned was how useless and in the way that place was to my relationship with the guys, and how easy it holds people back.
Yep.
That was one of the first things, because the closer I became to the guys, the more time I went home, what did I do?
Yeah, the more time you spent away.
The more time,
you
and finally, I was done, and I said, it has nothing to offer me anymore. This radio show fits into that category. There has to come a time when you start to have a relationship with God, with Jesus,
right.
with grace, with the Holy Spirit, and grace is in your life all day long, and the Holy Spirit is providing you with the tools that you need, that you're going to say, this show got me going. This show is supposed to be a primer, a starting gun,
right, right.
a place for you to start and then advance, but you should outgrow this show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the natural progression, because if you think you need something, if you think that there's an end or a speed limit or that's all there is, you're literally contradicting what Scripture says by there's no limits, no boundaries.
Right, right.
We got, we got more emails here. It says, listening in Minnesota, Dave and Barb.
Good.
Well, we're using their money wisely.
Yes.
To pay for the text messaging and the board, so they're listening. Okay, we got another email here. It says, hello, Jim, BJ and Ranger. It is okay to read on the show. I've heard various teaching on tithes. offers in Bible prosperity. I believe in giving. Tithes is an act of love. What is your opinion? If I continually give but doesn't see a continual harvest, what am I not doing right? After listening to your show, I'm in total agreement with your teaching on grace. Is there any churches that believe and teaches you? We really enjoy your show. Thanks.
Well, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, if you're up there.
Yeah, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. If you're in Germany, there's Fred.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a motivation to go somewhere. I think, to put it in a term that everybody understands, if you have a relationship with God, you're shifting gears and you're moving forward. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a building somewhere, an organized religion, the motor might even be turned on. And if it is, you're probably in park with the parking brake on. I want to associate with people that are on the move.
Right.
That are progressing. That have an appetite to know more, to do more, to see more.
Yeah. Well, you know, and part of that question is they're asking about, you know, we're not seeing the things that we'd like to see with all of our giving. Well, first of all, it's just like, if you relate this to bodily healing, it's just like people that are confessing the word and confessing the word or doing certain things to try to get their healing. And so they would say, you know, I'm not seeing the manifestation like I ought to, but I'm doing all these things. So look at the importance you're giving to your lack. Or look at the importance that someone else would give to their pain. As long as you're going to keep shoveling all your energy on the pain, or in this case, you keep on looking at lack, why would you, if the connection is real, why wouldn't everything else be there?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve had they had orchards. That's the saddest part, that they actually picked one apple off the wrong tree. But they had orchards. God didn't just give them a tree. He gave them orchards. There was plenty. There was more than enough. Even when Paul said over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and 12, and he was talking about all the persecutions he had, and then he said, Lord, he said, I'm praying three times that you take these away. And he said, and God spoke and said, my grace is sufficient. And the word sufficient means beyond the measure of your need. God is a great God of supply. Just ask Jesus when he only had a couple of fish, but it multiplied into feeding thousands of people. My point is very simple. Put your affection and your attention on experiencing God and building this wonderful relationship, and get your eyes off of the value you're placing on money and on your body.
We got an email here. It says, listening from Woodbury, Minnesota. It says, if you prophesy for me, I will send cookies and $10.
You prophesy, yeah.
Ha ha. No, it says prophecy.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says, ha ha ha. It says, no, sell oil for anointing, used motor oil from the ranch. Say hi to Jimmy, and just like to call him Jimmy. And this says, Lee the driver, Manera's. Do you know who that is?
I do.
Well, we don't. All the used motor oil on the ranch, we use it to we use it in these used oil burners,
uh-huh,
to provide heat. And so we don't waste it. We burn it. We don't pollute the ground. We pollute the air.
Hmm.
And the winds in this part of the country go from west to east. And so all this polluted air gets to New York City. And, well, you know, I don't care about New York City. Okay, it says one here. This is from Barb, okay? It says, the subject is holy water. It says, put water in a pot. Put the pot on the stove and boil the hell out of the water. Get it? You don't get it, do you? If you want to make holy water...
Oh, I got you. I got you.
I had to explain that
sorry,
to you?
Sorry.
What kind of pasteurizer are you?
Well, I just didn't get the joke. It took me a second. You know, there's probably somebody else out there saying, well, I didn't get it either until BJ helped you.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, blame somebody else for that.
I'm not.
All right, this one came in 14 minutes ago. It says, it says, hello and greetings to you all. This is Gian, being long time not hear from you. Can I give testimony? Okay, I told my friend a month ago what God is going to do in her life, and it came to pass. This one knew for me what does that mean. I just thank God that he chose me to express him. Thank you again. In touch with you soon. P.S. BJ, saw you on YouTube. You do a very good job with horses. See, this is Gian. That's that that girl from China.
Okay.
And that's why the English is like that. And, you know, there's like 270 videos on YouTube of me and Ranger.
Is she hooked to horses too?
I don't know. I don't know if she's not.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, and, you know, I should say, because we have people that have just logged on because they think the show started 20 minutes ago. The time change. I got to make it. Folks, a lot of you just logged on and you wondered what's going on. You actually logged on in the middle of the show. Here in the United States of America, in the central part, and we're in Oklahoma, in the springtime, we set the clocks ahead 1 hour for a time change. And so many of you are unaware of that. That's my fault. I didn't give you any warning on previous shows. So the show actually started at 8 o'clock, but that's actually an hour faster. So, but don't worry, because the show is streamed 24/7, and in about 20 minutes or so, we'll be wishing you all well, and we'll be up and running in no time. And then there is the archives. But make note of this, that for the next, how many months would that be? Let's see, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. For the next 8 or 9 months, the show is going to be starting an hour early for so many of you that live around the globe. So just make note of that. A text that just popped up on the wall says, what do you say to someone who says, my grace is sufficient for you, meant that God refused to heal or help Paul?
Well, he wasn't talking about that at all.
No, that's a misunderstanding.
Totally misunderstanding. So it's just wrong. Those are people that want to run routes and prove, okay, this is something we talked about before. BJ, you and I were talking about, and we'll use this as an example, about how some people, and this is fresh, folks. I could give even more clear examples, but I'll just say, even just recently, some of the people that I've talked to, especially ministers and all, you'll look at the way that they listen to some things, and they're looking for, especially if something is accurate and people are finding results, you'll get someone else, like another minister, and this has just happened, so I'm giving you an example. They'll look for something negative, anything that they can find.
To dispel it.
To discredit.
Because it's easier to discredit.
Right.
It's easier to find blame and fault and discredit someone else or something else than it is to humble yourself and be accountable for the mistake.
Right. So then take that to this email, and it's easier for people to try to discredit what God was actually saying, twist it, manipulate it to actually fit what they actually are experiencing themselves or not experiencing.
I think everybody listening to the show, except for Ranger and the horses on the other side of this wall, but all the people, all the human beings that listen to this show, including yours truly and the host of the show, Jim, I think in our own way, inadvertent learning applies to pawn it off on something else. It's not my fault. You know, I had no choice.
Yeah.
Well, this is just the way it is. You think I want things to go this way? You think
right.
I wanted this to happen? I think that there's so many times in our lives that through inadvertent learning, accidental habits that we've gained, that we've learned, unfortunately, to do that. To not stand up and just say, hi, my name is BJ, and I screwed up major.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you bring in some very important scriptures, humble yourself before God.
Right.
ask and you shall receive. And here's the biggest one right now is all your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
But how can a sin be forgiven? And a sin is a mistake. How can the guys forgive your mistake if you're not willing to acknowledge it is a mistake? It's hard to receive grace. It's hard to get prayers answered when in your own habits and your own mindset, you keep blaming someone else.
Right, right.
Because there's no accountability there.
Right.
You're not taking responsibility. You're not owning it. You're not even identifying it. You're living your life with rose-colored glasses on, and you're diffusing the situation by saying, I had no choice. I'm a victim. What was I to do? I didn't know this was going to happen. Because that's easy, and it's over with. Because otherwise, here it comes. You become extremely humble because you realize you're just not as good a person as you thought you were. You do make mistakes. You are a schmuck. And you really don't deserve as much as what you have.
You know, the statement, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You could say it like this.
Where'd you get that from? Is that in the book?
Yeah.
I got to get me one of those one time.
And God has already forgiven all sin in Christ. But you resist the experience of being forgiven through pride. And that's what it does. I mean, you could say it on one hand like this, because all sin is forgiven. In a sense, sin doesn't necessarily move God because it's already forgiven. But obviously, God doesn't want anybody involved in sin because it continues to move you. It continues to shield you. It continues to, like, put blankets over you so you can experience this wonderful love of God, the forgiveness of our Lord, the benefits of knowing that you're forgiven, that you don't have to be condemned, that you can approach God boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are scriptures that I'm quoting while I'm saying this. God wants us humble in our hearts so that we can experience all that He is. And the great part of that is not just the benefit, but Him. This is something, folks, and see if you think this is something that you have to also guard yourself against, but I'm finding myself going back to a lot of topics and subjects. Let's take one that would be the name righteousness. We look at righteousness, and again, this comes back to inadvertent learning. In other words, how we've learned certain things about even these wonderful redemptive realities that we have in Christ. In other words, from Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, the benefits that come from what He did, these are the redemptive benefits or the realities. Well, one of them is we become the righteousness of God in Christ because He took our sin that we might be made righteous. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, let's think about that for a moment. Righteousness. And see, I'm having to do this with all these topics and subjects because of the religious way that we've done it. We've walked around talking about glory to God, I'm righteous. Thank God I'm righteous. Well, think about it. What does righteousness mean but being right where you used to be wrong? So wrong in spirit, wrong in mind, wrong in body. Now, thank God through Christ, we're right in spirit, right in mind, right in body. Well, then what's next? I have to ask myself questions like this all the time. Okay, now you're righteous. So what's next? What do you do with that? You make right choices. Choices of a person that is in connection with God. These are the kind of things that I'm redoing because of inadvertent learning. In other words, learning where I've gone along with the crowds for so long, saying that I'm righteous is more just words than it is an experience, and that is wrong.
I wonder if anybody knows or doesn't know what righteous really means, the word, by sheer definition. What would you say, Jim, to somebody that says, okay, I hear righteous all the time, but what does righteous or righteousness mean? What does that mean? What would your explanation be?
Well, I'm not going to give you Webster's, but I'll give you the Bible definition of righteousness as I see it. And that is that we were all lost we were all sinners, and through what Jesus did in our acceptance of it, he's made our spiritual man completely righteous, born brand new, a fresh start, so that we can have a right relationship with God.
Okay. It's not bad.
I don't know. What do you think?
I just said it's not bad. Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
You know, because there's many, and see, this is what I like to point out to people,
mm-hmm.
that there are many religious organizations that use the term righteous or righteousness. I mean, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, this one, I have no idea even how to say it. Have you ever heard of something called Zoroastrianism?
Wow, no.
I'm serious. Zoroastrianism. I don't even know what in the world that is. It's an ancient Iranian religion. And a religious philosophy. There you go.
Wow.
You heard it here, folks, on Jim's show. You heard it here first, folks. I think that if someone just sits down, I find that the best thing for me to do is the more I disassociate myself from what I thought the world was and the day-to-day reality of my life was, the easier it was to have a conversation with the guys,
mm-hmm.
to enjoy their company.
Mm-hmm.
And I have got to a point now where it doesn't matter where I'm at. I can be driving 18 miles and I'm clueless to what I'm doing and everything went fine. I can be in a room full of people on a highway. I can be in a shopping mall at Christmas time. I could be in a riot and I would still notice and enjoy grace. That's living with grace. That's being one with the guys. That's what we're supposed to do. Because the more of that I have, the less of fleshly worldly habits I have.
Right. So if we took this night and just kind of put it into a little capsule, a little summary, what we're really wanting people to do with this information is, and I don't want to put anything on you or in your mind that's not there, but to really basically sit down and assume it's very possible just by my associations that there is inadvertent learning that is hindering me from experiencing God, or learning that is causing me to be much more aware of the world and the flesh than God.
Yeah,
because to do that, and we're not talking about trying to go back into your childhood, but to do that, you would immediately begin to recognize areas of nonsense, drama, ridiculousness, things that you've bought into for years that aren't, and you would also begin to recognize, like I am. I just mentioned to you, I'm going back through many different subject matter and looking at them through a different perspective and seeing, wow, look at, we do know a lot about that as far as the knowledge of it. But what has that done for us? What have we experienced from that particular topic? See, I'm having to do that too. It's very healthy to your relationship with God.
Okay. You sold me.
Do you think that that's a summary that's helpful for the folks?
Well, I can't speak for them. I mean, it sounds good and it makes sense to me, but...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to answer for these people listening to the show. Are you crazy?
Well, somebody send us a text and let us know.
Well, there you go.
If
see?
You're getting something out of
send us an
our
email
little summary
or a text
and what we're
or,
saying, yeah, so you can see how this would benefit you.
I would like to think that people will get to a point where they're kind of mad, they're kind of frustrated, they're a little sad or they have a little melancholy, and they're going to say, enough is enough. We haven't had one of these emails in a very long time But every once in a while we get one where somebody says that they're so exhausted from praying. They're so tired of trying to pray, of trying to be a good person, of trying to get a prayer answered, that they literally just give up. They literally just say, okay, fine, I'm done, I'm fed up. If there is a God, it's up to you. I'm throwing in the towel. If you want this to happen, great, it's going to happen, but I'm done trying to make it happen. And before they ever elaborate or get out everything they want to say, it instantly happens. Because they finally got their big rear end out of their own way.
Sure.
They literally stepped aside. They acknowledged Christ. They got out of the way and they said, it's up to you.
Yeah, you know, when the path is clear where God has access, it really doesn't take long at all to get answers. I'm just even reminded of here, as we were talking about the show earlier, and I was asking the Lord just one simple question. Before I got the question out, I had at least five or six answers to the question. You remember, that's what I said. I said, well, yeah, you know, that happens all the time. When I was a kid, that would happen all the time. I'd ask questions and get answers. I just didn't know it was God. I didn't know it was God's grace. Now I'm beginning to recognize that. But the more open you are, or the more out of the way you are, the more all of that begins to work very quickly.
We got a text here that says, that was an excellent summary. That's from Cheryl.
Okay.
And then somebody sent a text that just says, yes. So apparently they're in agreement to something. All right. You want to say something to music?
Yes.
Let me find some music and, you know, see if we got some music here. Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on. All that money, all that hard-earned money.
Is that one of your songs?
That's not one of my songs. All the hard-earned money that Dave and Barb sent to have a new soundboard, a new broadcasting board, and something as offensive as that. That's just wrong.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know, but I know that when that music started, all the lights on the board kind of dimmed.
Yeah, we need to delete that. But you won't, because you want it as leverage. you're so wrong.
Well, Mr. Huckaday, whatever do you mean, sir?
Yeah, you know exactly what I mean. Well, Father God, I thank you for our time tonight. And by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge you. We thank you for being here in our lives. And help everyone to know that what they've heard tonight is something that very easily they can do, where they can just do a little assessment and see if there's things, habits, routines, ways of thought processes that are hindering them from experiencing you. I ask you to reveal that, to make it known, because when the heart is hungry, you said those that are hungry and thirsty will be filled. Fill them, Lord God, with your grace as they get out of the way, to show them how easy it is to experience you and how normal and regular it is to have results, evidence, and testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was pretty good.
Good.
I thought it was. I thought you did good. You know, how did you think? Think we did all right tonight? Did we get the point across?
Well, you know, it's an interesting subject that probably most people haven't thought of. But I...
Possibly.
And it's possible maybe they have. But I find this to be, as I'm growing, I find this subject right here to be a huge subject, actually.
Well, it is. And
in fact, I look at it as a major, not a minor.
You know, I've always liked the statement that one picture, one photograph is worth 1,000 words. And so many times on your show, I wish that we could show people grace.
Right.
You know, we could have like a video and say, look, there's grace right now running across the pasture. You know what I mean? Or,
yes.
or like a... Like, it's one thing to tell somebody how delicious a recipe is. It's another thing to pile it on a plate and give them a fork and say, here you go, shovel it on in.
Right.
This tastes great. I wish there was a way we could do that. And perhaps you accomplish that in your travels. I hope that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just hope that people listen and it's of some benefit to them.
Yeah, me too.
And remember, folks, for those of you who are logging on, I realize that we're saying goodnight, and this was a live show. Today's date is the 11th of March, 2014, but we are starting the show an hour earlier for so many of you because in the central part of the United States of America, in Oklahoma, we were required to turn our clocks 1 hour ahead. They call it spring forward, move the clocks ahead an hour, and then in the fall of the year, we fall back and we lose an hour. We've done this before, but for a lot of you, you may not have been aware of it. It might take you a week or two. And remind me next week to mention this if I don't.
Okay.
Tomorrow
night at the library.
Tomorrow night you'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And Joe Morris will be doing the service.
Is that that little short guy that bounces around a lot?
Yeah, Joe.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah. Well, that's Joe.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Oh, he's going to do great.
He's animated.
Yeah, very, very good.
I think they'll like it.
Yeah.
Has he ever heard the show?
I'm not sure, but I know that he's done the library once before, so it should be a good night.
Well, good.
Yep.
And that's when?
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Hardesty Library.
Okay. Do you record those or anything?
We do. I'm going to start streaming them, I think, too.
How are you going to do that?
I'm going to talk to Todd. I mean, he's probably hearing this for the first time, but he talked to me a while back that he could stream those and just put them on my
Who's
website.
Todd
and Cheryl.
Todd can do this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. So there would be another page on the show's website of recordings from the Hardesty Library.
Yes.
That's a really good idea.
And then we could archive those, too. They go hand in hand.
Any buttons? Any buttons you're going to have with those?
Red ones.
Yeah. Go ahead. Do it.
Red ones.
Yeah, because you'll come out to the
caramel corn.
Okay, we'll see. If you have a red button that says, send me money, you will come out to the ranch to do a show, and you will never be heard from again.
Well, you know what? You don't even need to mention something like that because we already addressed that before we ever did the first show.
And
I would never go back on that.
We did. I said I could create and build your radio show to make you a millionaire. And I says, but I wouldn't want anything to do with it, and I certainly wouldn't want my name associated with it.
Right.
And I said, I can help create and build you a show that'll do somebody some good.
Right.
Think we've done anybody good?
I do. You know, I'll make this last little observation. You know, everything that we're doing on these shows, even though some of them have similar topics, personally, this is my testimony. I never tire of hearing about multiple different ways, even sometimes a play on word that's a little bit different, of ways in which I have very naturally, normally, as though it was normal life, participated in the world and in the flesh, because I want so badly to unhook from all of that, that hearing about it continually reminds me of how negative the world is, and it continues to actually cause me to run very much faster to God. So I trust that you're all feeling the same, that you're experiencing a greater desire through these shows to really want to go towards the Lord.
I think the show, you know what the number one thing the show has done for me, other than provide me with high quality snacks, which is important, by the way, is that it's made me open up my mind to the fact that not all people are worthless.
Mm-hmm.
That there are good people out there doing good things, and that there are nice people.
Well,
the listeners of the show, their emails, their texts, their faithfulness to your show, the loyalty and their candor, the way they open up and ask for help and their testimonies has made me reconsider that, you know, there's not many.
Well,
but you know, there are good, decent people still, you know, living and breathing and walking around.
Well, let me qualify that statement for a second, because when you make that statement, you know, most people would say, well, my goodness, BJ, wake up. There's all kinds of amazing people. But here's my point, folks. You got to understand, coming from somebody that sees through the hypocrisy that most of us never have seen through. In other words, if we're living a life and most of our lives are attached to the world and the flesh and going around in circles, well, of course, everybody's amazing because it's the group. Well, but the moment you pull away from that and begin to see it for what it really is, then you watch people day after day after day begin to make decisions about life that are so attached to the world, that's the reason why you would make a statement
like that. Well, and also that people have to be aware of the fact that my life's work has been working with horses that have been physically abused by people. I mean, I work, you know, people say, do you work with horses that have people problem? You know, people that have problems with their horses? And I say, no. I work with horses that have people problems. They say, oh, do you break horses? And I say, no, I help horses to be fixed. I've spent my whole life working with horses that have been physically and mentally abused by people. And so I have a large bank of information about just how cruel and how uncaring anybody can be. Any skin color, any age, any economic level. I can give you laundry lists of people that abuse horses and other animals. And after a while, you know, you've been exposed to that since you were, you know, since the age you could walk. By the time you get to my age, you're going to be, you know, you're going to look at people and say, well, I wonder if that's a dog kicker.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what they're called. You call them dog kickers. Yeah. Horse hitters, dog kickers, you know, that kind of a thing. And one thing that your show has done is showed me that I need to see better things.
Yeah.
Because there's better things out there.
Yeah, that's good.
Like a brand new box of Butter Crunch.
That's right. You got that today. It's going to be hard to get it
that
open,
butter,
though.
The Butter Crunch is going to be the... I got knives everywhere. Are you kidding me? I'm going to have your Butter Crunch after my fried chicken. I'm having fried chicken, au gratin potatoes, and corn.
There you go.
And then Butter Crunch for dessert.
Okay.
Like anybody really cares other than me.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Folks, remember, there's been a time change. So for you people that live outside of the United States of America, remember the show will be starting an hour earlier where you are. We want to thank all the new listeners, because we always get new listeners. We want to welcome you. And remember, the show will be archived. It'll take me 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and streaming. But until then, you can enjoy last week's show, and then this week's show will start streaming. It'll be on the archives sometime tomorrow. Take care of yourselves and your pets. Wow, is she vocal or what?
Yeah.
What else? Well, there you have it. I thought it went well.
Good, me too.
All right, folks. Well, Ranger.
She's not dumb.
No, we always give her the last word because dogs spell backwards.
Good night, everyone.